This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Since 2001, CBS's competition reality show, The Amazing Race, has taken audiences all around the globe with contestants vying for the top prize of $1 million. This Wednesday, the premiere of the show's 37th season will air, and there will be a watch party in downtown St. Louis at the Hawthorne because a father-son duo of lumberjacks from St. Louis is part of this season's Amazing Race cast. Joining us today to talk about it is that pair, two Jeffs, the elder one, Pops, and his son, Jeff. Pops and Jeff Bailey, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having us. Yeah, we're excited.
So the Amazing Race, as we noted, it started quite some time ago. It's 2001, and it's the longest running reality TV show, or one of the longest ones in U.S. history. But it's also one of the most taxing competition shows. So between the two of you, whose idea was it to throw your hat in the ring?
It was my idea. I started watching the race around 2020 during the pandemic. I love to travel. Pops and I, we go on trips. We bring the whole family, and you couldn't do it, you know, in 2020. So that was like my outlet to kind of still see the world. Mm-hmm. As I was watching, I found out that they were filming a season, and then they had to suspend that season, right? So it's like I'm falling in love with this game and this show, and I'm starting to think maybe that's something that Pops and I can do. Pops is the first person that I thought of when I thought I wanted to do it. But then they suspend it, and I'm thinking that it'll never come back again. So my excitement when I found out that they were filming again and casting again and everything, I had to tell Pops we're doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. Pops, how familiar were you with The Amazing Race before Jeff came to you with this proposition?
I heard of it, but I never watched it. And then immediately when he told me, I was like, well, let me check it out because there may be a possibility. But so we watched it, or I watched it, and it was like right up our alley. I mean, we're so competitive with each other.
Okay.
And then just to see that show where we can actually be on the same team.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, this is going to be love here.
So in what way are you competitive with each other, Pops?
Every way.
we're always like the Amazing Race. You can do anything and make it a challenge. Mm-hmm. And anywhere we go, whether it's a restaurant or in the park, we always find something that we can challenge each other with, whether it's near a lake, we skipping rocks, we always challenge each other. And when I started watching that show, I said, that's us.
Yeah.
That's us all day. And we're on the same team.
Mm-hmm. Is that what was making you think that you two would be a good team, Jeff? Because you sort of have this way of competing with each other.
Yeah.
And doing it in a friendly manner.
In a friendly manner. Like, we can be, we'll show up, and both of us, so we both own tree services, but we park our equipment at the same place. We'll show up and we'll see a trash can across the parking lot, and we're standing on a bunch of rocks. And, you know, next thing we know, we've been there for an hour seeing who can throw the most rocks in the trash can. Or, you know, ever since I was a kid, we'd play horse or play one-on-one basketball. Just anything that you could think of to make mm-hmm. the time pass, we're always competing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, for those who are not familiar with this really long-running show, The Amazing Race, how do you describe, you know, briefly what it is, Jeff?
So is you start off, usually you start off in a U.S. city. We started in L.A. As soon as Phil says go, you're in a leg, what's considered a leg of the race. That turns out usually to be one episode. You have, for this season, we had 14 teams, which is the first time they did that. All teams are racing to go to whatever this first place is, whatever country, whatever city. That first clue tells you where to go to in that place, in that mm-hmm. city. Once you get there, there's going to be some challenge that you have to do. Everybody's racing to finish that challenge, get a clue to go to the next place. You may go to two or three different places and do different challenges, and these challenges are all over the place. You may have to sing or dance, or you may have to eat something, or it could just be physical to where you're climbing something or running somewhere or something. Now, whoever is done with all of these challenges last and gets to what's called the pit stop where Phil is waiting for you. Whoever gets there last, you're eliminated from the show.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So Phil, to that point, mm-hmm. is the Phil Kogan,
yep.
is the host of this show, and he's been there from the beginning, since 2001. Now, there is a 5-minute teaser of the first episode that's available online now, and there was a funny yet significant part of your introduction to your fellow competitors and the Amazing Race host, Phil Kogan.
We're both lumberjacks, but from St. Louis, Missouri. I'm 35 and he's 64.
I want to look like that at 64, don't you?
That's goals right there. That's my goals.
Now, Pops, I need to paint a picture here for our listening audience. Now, in that season 37 preview that we just heard, Jeff tells everyone you're 64 years old. Is that...
That, it's just, that was correct, but that was months ago. I'm 65
now. Yeah, so you're
now,
65
yeah.
now.
Yeah, yeah,
well,
yeah.
What they do not see, sir, is that you are yoked. Like, I mean, legitimately jacked.
Yeah.
And you're one of the oldest contestants for season 37. Now, what were the reactions of your friends and family when you let them know, hey, I'm going to run across the world and be filmed all day and night?
Well, they said we couldn't tell them really anything at first, but when they realized we were actually going to be on the show, they were like, man, that's right up your alley, man, because you're doing amazing things just the way you look, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, and we seen, you know, how you work. So it's like they were like just rooting and knowing that we're going to execute.
Yeah.
And it's going to be great. And doing it with my son, because like I said, we always challenge each other, and they think I'm buff. I mean, look at him. I mean, it's like, wow. And I guess because of my age, they focus on me. But, yeah, my family was very happy about it, because they know that we both like challenges.
Mm-hmm. Was there anything about the prospect of having cameras on you all the time that felt, you know, like maybe you were not ready for it? Or were you game, Pops, immediately?
I was game immediately, and I guess just challenging others, I didn't pay attention to the cameras. You know, I was just so focused on what we were doing and then having so much fun with that, with my son. It was like, it was just love to me. I wasn't nervous or anything.
Yeah. Was that the same for you, Jeff?
Yeah, it was the same for me. And it's funny because we walked into this knowing that we always challenge each other, the physical side of things. We would execute, like he said, the mental stuff. I love puzzles. I love riddles and things like that. And I knew that that would be splattered throughout the competitions at some point. And we knew we could do that too. But I was concerned before we left about the cameras. It's something that both of us had never done before. Pops has never even had maybe a job interview. You know what I mean?
Oh,
so before we even started this casting process, he had never done anything even similar to that. He's always been an entrepreneur. He cut grass growing up, and now, you know, he started his tree service about 40 years ago. So he just fell right into it, though. It was not a problem. Like you said, like he said, he was able to just ignore the cameras. We were focused on the mission. You know, we had one goal, and that was to go out and win that $1 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think this is a great segue to the story of lumberjacking in your family. I mean, The Amazing Race seems like it's a pretty stressful roller coaster ride. But the work that each of you do on a day-to-day basis as lumberjacks, that is a very dangerous job. How is it, Pops, that you got your start in the tree cutting part? You know, Jeff has just mentioned cutting grass, but how did you get your beginnings in lumberjacking?
I got my beginnings. My father, he was a butcher, and he also had a lawn service. So I was... Since I was 6 years old, it was like after school, we pretty much had to work, had to do something, you know, and with my dad. And as we got older and as I started playing ball and sports, I kind of got away from it for a while. But after a game or practice, I still had to go out and help my dad, you know, take care of the lines. And one day he said, a customer wants a tree cut. I said, well, I can do it. I love climbing trees. So that's where it started. Mm-hmm. And from there, I just took it and ran with it, you know?
So watching your dad, Jeff, do this work, obviously it was some source of inspiration because you're doing the same.
Yeah.
What are some of the memories that you have of growing up at work sites with Pops, sort of in the same way that Pops, you grew up sort of seeing your father do these things?
I remember seeing my dad. So the most important things that I can remember was his hustle and his grind. You know what I mean? His way of going out, leaving the house without any real work on the table. He wasn't one of the bigger companies at the time, so he wasn't getting the phone calls. I watched him go door to door or pull up while somebody's out cutting their grass and pitching the possibility of cutting a tree for them.
Mm-hmm.
He just had one small pickup truck. I would see the other companies come out with the big equipment and everything, and we were riding around this little small regular cab, you know, pickup truck, throwing stuff on the back of the truck. And I can remember that as far back as when I was maybe 5 or 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I remember him handing me a chainsaw when I was about 7 or 8 years old and teaching me what to do with it. So I rode with him all the way to Wisconsin or something to buy his first bucket truck.
Mm-hmm.
I watched him, the cash that he had saved up to buy that, I rode with him to go buy a Bobcat. I would go online and help him find equipment. And it was literally never anything handed to him. And he always taught me that that was the way that it was going to be for me too. So I mimicked that. Like, growing my business, I would save up cash and go and buy pieces of equipment and, you know, just do what I had to do because I watched Pops do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're speaking with a father-son duo, Pops and Jeff Bailey, who are St. Louis competitors in this next season of The Amazing Race, which premieres this Wednesday. Going through that process of being on the show, I've seen some of the challenges that they present. Did your experience, Pops and Jeff, in doing things that are kind of dangerous or sometimes perhaps tedious, did that help in any way with one of the challenges that you had to do, Pops?
Yeah, I think just growing up in St. Louis, you learn resilience. And I think there's a toughness about St. Louis or Missouri. And my son and I both had that from our work ethic coming up. And we were looking forward to, I was looking forward to anything physical, you know.
Mm.
But I knew there were going to be puzzles. You have to have a good memory when reading some or remembering some. And knew my son was a genius in that. So I felt very comfortable, you know, with whatever they display. We were going to go hard at it and keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And the best part about it is it's not just because the challenges can translate from what we've done before. Like, a sneak peek just was released by the race today where you see that they're climbing up a bamboo wall.
Oh.
So, and that was, you know, he climbs trees every day.
Sure.
But it's not just how the actual challenges translate to what we do on a daily basis. It's our relationship. Every single day when we get out and we do any trees together, or even if we're just talking about what we did for that day, our relationship and our way of communicating with each other gets stronger and stronger. Believe it or not, just 2 hours ago, my dad and I put 2 really tall trees on the ground before we went and got ready to come and do this. And I had to trust his instincts. At a point, he was saying, if I cut it like this and you pull it like that, it's going to fall right here. And nobody else could have told me that tree was going to fall where he said it fell.
Mm-hmm.
And I went with it, and it did it that way. So that helped guide us through the race because we have this trust for each other's instincts. And, you know, we know which one of us to believe is right or wrong in a situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff, what was the balance of fun and challenge like? And obviously, like, when you're doing things together, you may be competing, you are working together this time. There must have been some points of frustration. How did you work through that?
So, and I think, again, this comes from the type of work that we do and that we sometimes do together. It wasn't like we had to find a way to balance fun and challenge, because when challenge went up, fun went up for us.
Okay.
Like, the more challenging something was, it was actually, we would be talking amongst each other, watching others get frustrated about things, and we knew that that was going to play into our advantage. The best news that we could have got about this season started at the starting line when Phil Kogan said, hey, this is going to be a season of surprises.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be more twists and turns than what you've ever ever seen on The Race. And we would talk about that in our interviews and amongst ourselves. Like, we're hoping for as much chaos, as much twisty turns as possible, because in the work that we do, every couple of minutes, we're making some type of decision that can threaten our lives or threaten somebody's property. And so we're used to that. Mm-hmm. And I think we navigated through those parts of it really well.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think really that is what separates good teams from even better ones on The Amazing Race. It's how you deal with the challenges, because challenges are guaranteed, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Pops, you know, there's that old saying that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And that's, you know, it's kind of punny given what you do. But with the joking aside, I see that there are a lot of similarities between the two of you. You favor one another physically, right? Mm-hmm. But in your personalities and temperament, you also seem quite similar. Mm. Are there some lessons that you learned through this experience watching your son that sort of make you also think about the way that he has started his own career and his own family?
Yeah, there are. And watching him grow up, just helping him with his homework, I always thought, okay, I'm going to teach my son this, I'm going to teach him that. But seeing how he wanted to learn and know this and that, I had to step my game up. When he come on with homework, I had to say, well, shoot, I don't quite know that. Let me go with this dictionary, because I wanted him to get it every time, right? I want him to be better than I am. Mm. But in the show, that kind of prepared us for whatever situations we were in. People were expecting us to go at one another, so I'm dad and that's son, and he's got to listen to me. But it was almost the other way around.
Yeah, you know. Well, and we should be clear, we're sort of talking around some of these things because we're not giving away any spoilers during the conversation. Right. For you, Jeff, seeing your father and being in this situation, it's a very unique situation.
Yeah.
Were there things that you saw about him maybe in a new light?
Yeah.
Where it was like, oh, this is Pops, all caps, Pops.
Yeah, for sure. And so the reason I call him Pops, the reason everybody calls him Pops, is because, you know, to me and my friends and everybody that grew up around me, they all call him Pops. Like, he's always been that great example of that father figure that you can get advice from and all of that. Going out on The Race, it was no different. You know, it was people out there that was maybe even a little bit older than him, but they loved calling him Pops because everybody looked at him as that figure. One thing about this season of The Race, with it being the season of surprises and all these different twists, there was a big social game to be played. Mm-hmm. It's like if you watch like Big Brother and Survivor, which I love competition reality shows, you'll see social games more on some of those than you typically would see on the Amazing Race. But I was really proud to see Pops be able to navigate that part of it too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it does matter who's willing to help you and who's willing to work with you. And, you know, sometimes, some seasons, you'll see alliances be formed and things like that. And that's very important to be able to do. I didn't know that Pops was as, like, socially strategic as I was able to see him be. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The season 37 premiere of The Amazing Race is on Wednesday. And it's at 8:30 p.m. Central on CBS. Mm-hmm. Now, folks can watch it from home, but you two are hosting a special screening in St. Louis at the Hawthorne. What can folks expect at that event, Jeff?
Well, if you come out, you want to get there on time. The doors open at 7 p.m. We will have a meet and greet at 7:30, between 7:30 and the start time of the show at 8:30. Good food. There are two bars down there. Really good photo opportunities. Arts Limemore is involved with this party. Arts Limemore shop out in North County. And so there's going to be a really cool photo opportunity for everybody, too.
That's great.
Yeah.
Jeff Bailey and Pops Bailey are contestants in the 37th season of CBS's Amazing Race. Tune in on Wednesday, March 5th at 8:30 p.m. Central to cheer them on. Pops and Jeff, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us
so much.
My pleasure.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.